For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. We are only 2 weeks away from Palm Sunday and 3 weeks from Resurrection Sunday. Don't miss our special Easter service at 10:30 a.m., where the choir will be performing a musical entitled Amazing Love. Last week, Pastor Holland began to explore the final meal that Christ had with his disciples. Each course was symbolically significant as Christ unveiled the fate that he would soon face. We will now join Pastor Holland in progress for the conclusion of his two-part series entitled The Final Meal.
I'm so grateful today that God reached down and saved my soul. And I don't want to do anything that would dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ or His Word. I tell you today, I appreciate it. It's good to hear people's testimonies of God doing miracles in their life, and I'm not against that. But sometimes, if you're not careful, it seems as if they're bragging about it. And they're boasting about what they used to do. Friend, I tell you, it's only by the grace of God that I stand in this pulpit today rather than being in the cemetery, because God had mercy on my soul. I surely don't deserve to be here, but I tell you, the bitter herbs of the Passover helps to remind me of the bitter past I have. And I tell you today what I think about it was the wasted years that I spent in serving the devil rather than serving God. But the best part, it wasn't just the leaven to remind us of our sin. It wasn't just the bitter herbs to remind us of our past. But thank God for the Lamb. The Bible said the Lamb in the Passover reminds us of our own redemption. Just as it took the Lamb to save the Israelites, it took the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lamb who saves us is the Lamb of God. Jesus died on the cross for my sins in order that I might have eternal life. Friend, what's your hope in today? What's your glory in? I tell you, I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God who died for my sin. If you'll take a look back with me at Exodus chapter number 12, I want you to see the process of choosing the Lamb for the Passover. It has a lot, I believe, to teach us today. The people of Israel was told to take a lamb, one per family. The family was to take it and it have it, but each family was to take a lamb. But there were certain things that had to be about the lamb. So he said, take a lamb. But look at verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall your count for the lamb. Now in verse 3 he said, take a lamb. But in verse 4, he's got more specific, and he says, take the lamb. It speaks of a specific lamb that would be chosen to die for that family. Then look at verse number 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Well, he said, take a lamb. But then he said, the lamb. But now he says, your lamb. And I'm glad today this speaks of a personal relationship with the Lamb that has been chosen. Friend, I'm so glad today that I have a personal relationship. There was a day when we needed a Lamb. The Bible said that Jesus looked down and saw the world was so full of sin. God looked down and God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Thank God for a Lamb. Amen. And then you need the Lamb. In our case, there's only one Lamb, the Lamb, the Son of God. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only one to save us. He said, get you a Lamb. Just get a Lamb. Then He said, get you the Lamb. But then the Lamb must become your Lamb in order to be saved by the grace of God. You know, there must be a time in your life when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a time when Jesus stops being a story in the Bible and becomes a relationship in your life with Him. I have people all the time, you ask them if they're saved. Well, my grandma, they took me to church and they did this and they did that. And that's all wonderful. But friend, today we're not getting to heaven based on what grandma and grandpa did. We're going to get to heaven because we personally took the Lamb to be our Lamb. Somebody recently told me they got saved a long time ago and then said later on in years, Christ became more real in their life. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. Christ needs to be real in your life. It's not a myth. It's not to be compared with Santa Claus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins in order that we might have salvation. First of all, we see the setting. Second of all, the symbolism in verses 26 through 28. We've considered the setting of the meal. We've turned our attention now to the symbolism involved in this meal. During the Passover, four cups of wine were used, but these different cups of wine are filled, I believe, with symbolic importance for the Jews. I want to share with you the five cups of wine and what they represent. The first cup represents Israel's deliverance from a harsh slave labor in Egypt. It was to celebrate the sanctification of God's people. They were to take the cup and recite the Kiddush, which is a blessing of sanctification. The second cup represents Israel's deliverance from slavery. You can find that in Exodus 12 and 13. The third cup of wine represents God's redemption of His people through the blood of the Lamb. It's accompanied by the blessing of thanks to God for His deliverance and His people. The third cup is always taken with bread. The fourth cup represents God's promise to make His people a great nation and give them a land they can call their own. The cup is accompanied by a recitation, portions of the Hallel, or praise of Psalms, found in Psalm 113 and through Psalm 118. It's a cup of rejoicing and praise to God for His grace, love, and mercy. Jesus and His men would have taken the fourth cup after the meal, but this occurs in verse 30 after our text. The fifth cup is called the Elijah cup. It's filled with wine, but they do not drink it. It represents the coming of Elijah, who will announce the arrival of the Messiah. Now, it's probably while Jesus and the disciples were drinking the third cup, the cup of redemption, is being taken that Jesus forever changes the Passover meal. Jesus takes the emphasis off the Passover meal from a remembrance of an event that occurred a long time ago and brings it to the present reality, the Lamb of God who died for our sin. Let's look what he did to change this and to show what it really means. He took the third cup, the bread, and He used it to speak about Himself. And He was about to give to His people. Jesus broke this bread and said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." He uses the bread to speak of what happens the next day. He was going to be arrested by the Jews. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be condemned to die. And He was given to the Romans, who beat Him, mocked Him, scourged Him, and sentenced Him to die. They took Him to Calvary, and they nailed His body that was broken for us to the cross. The third cup of wine celebrated the Lord's redemption of ancient Israel. "This is My blood. This is My body." Now, there's some people today, they literally believe that when they put that bread in their mouth, it becomes the body of Jesus Christ. That's not so. It represents the body of Jesus Christ that died for us. We drink the juice. It's representative of the blood of Jesus Christ that died for you and I. Jesus said, "The wine of the cup represents His blood that He was going to shed on the cross for sin." He also says His blood will do more than cover it over. He says His blood will take away sin forever and forever. So this is the symbolism, and we take the Lord's Supper. And by the way, I believe everybody ought to be involved. I believe it's a covenant of the church. Baptism, Lord's Supper. I believe you ought to be involved in it. He said, "Oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of Me." And then lastly, we see the sacrifice. You know what He's doing? He's establishing a new covenant. And He uses the elements in the Passover meal to illustrate what He will do when He dies on the cross. He'll go to the cross, He'll die, He'll shed His precious blood, which does, by the way, have the power to take away sin. The blood of Jesus has the power to provide remission or forgiveness of sin. I like power in the blood. But this new covenant, which established by Jesus, promises eternal forgiveness and salvation to everyone who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." Friend, we have no forgiveness today apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He will face the next day to the glory that he will experience in the future, his Father's kingdom. Jesus passed agony, his sacrifice on the cross, to a day when he will rejoice with his people in eternal kingdom. I think of that song, "Look for Me at Jesus' Feet." I tell you, one day we're going to be with him, but Jesus is saying, "I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die." But that's not the end of the story. I tell you, he was buried. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came forth from the grave and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I today. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus is going to ascend back to heaven. You know, Jesus leaves us with a promise. He said, "I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God." Here's what we need to understand, that Jesus died for you on the cross of Jesus Christ. He took your sins upon himself. He died so your sins could be forgiven. Not only that, but Jesus rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. Had Jesus not arose from the dead, we would have no hope. But thank God our hope today is in a resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, if you will come to Jesus, repenting of your sins, believing in his death and burial and resurrection by faith, you can be saved from your sins. You'll be forgiven. You'll be delivered from the wrath of God, and you'll be given eternal life. And then today, the most important thing, Jesus invites you today to come. He said, "Come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." If you've been saved today, you ought to thank God for his grace, his mercy, and his love. And I tell you, you ought to come before him today, whether you come to the altar or not. That's between you and God. But I tell you today, every one of us ought to leave here shouting the glory of God in our hearts that we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're here today, you'd say, "Preacher, I don't know. I've heard it, and I just don't know." I wouldn't leave here today without knowing that I'd put my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I tell you, if you get saved today, the resurrection Sunday will be a whole lot better than it's ever been before, because you'll serve the risen Savior. Father, thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity to come together. What a story in the Bible, and not just a story tale, but a story that is true. Lord, the final meal with the disciples, he was teaching them some things that they needed to learn and understand to hold forth and to be true to. And Lord, I pray today that you would just speak to our hearts. I don't know the condition of anybody's heart, but Lord, if there's one here today that does not know thee as Savior, I pray that they might come and put their faith in you. Have your will and way, we pray, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
The death of Christ was more than 2,000 years ago, yet today is still the day of salvation. Have you honored the appointment? The Bible tells us now is the appointed time. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? There has been a great sacrifice made so that you may enjoy eternity. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, And join us again next week at this same time.